This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening everyone. Shalom Aleichem. Bruchim Abam. We're continuing in Daf HaShavua, Masechet Ksubos, Daf Kuf Beis Amud Aleph. We begin on the bottom of Kuf Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara says that if somebody says to their friend, I am chayiv to you a mana, Rabbi Yochanan says you're chayiv, Reish Lakish says you're pater. So Gemara wants to know what's the case. If he says to the Edim, Atem Edai, then why would Reish Lakish say pater? If he did not say Atem Edai, why does Rabbi Yochanan say chayiv? Says Gemara, really, he did not say Atem Edai. Here, what are we talking about? Where he says, I am chayiv amane in the shtar. Basically, he wrote in the shtar that I am chayiv amane. He did not sign his name. Rabbi Yochanan says, you're chayiv because the shtar is strong. It's as if by you giving over the shtar in front of Edom, it says, if you said Atem Edai. Reish Lakish says, you're pater because we don't say Alima Milsa Deshtara. This morning we learned this Machlekes Rashi and Taisis. According to Rashi, the shtar says and acknowledges previous liability. The shtar says, I owed you money. I owe you money because of a past debt. While Taisis says, he is obligating himself from here and on. He's obligating himself now in a new obligation. Okay, so the Gemara now says Tanan. We learned in the Mishnah, Hanoisiya Soisha. We learned in our Mishnah, so he marries a woman who paski imay lazan esbita chameshanim, and he makes up to support her daughter for 5 years. Meaning, upaski imai, she gets a definitive commitment from him that he will support her daughter for 5 years. Chayiv lezoina chameshanim. He's obligated to support her for 5 years. Now, what proof does a woman have that he obligated himself? If he signed a shtar, yeah, I'm going to support your daughter for 5 years, then it's obvious that he's chayiv to support her. So my love is the case not, ki hai gavna, like the situation that we're talking about, where he didn't sign a shtar that he is going to support her for 5 years, but he basically was moida that there is a past his chayivos, and the way he was moida is by giving her a shtar in front of Edom. And the Mishnah says that he's obligated. So it must be, like Rabbi Yochanan, that by handing a shtar in front of Edim, you're mechayiv yourself in past debt. So the Gemara loy, no, we're not talking about such a case. If you just handed a shtar to a woman in front of Edim, that would not obligate her. What are we speaking about? B'shtarei pesikasa. We're talking about a document of obligation. Basically, it's a document which establishes his responsibilities for a marriage. So basically, this type of shtar is a full-fledged document, and it does not have to get involved at all in a situation where he merely wrote that he is chayiv to give this woman X amount of money or support the daughter for X amount of time, because we're talking about a marriage document, and a marriage document has full responsibility. Uchat Rav Gidol, like Rav Gidol taught, the Amar Rav Gidol Marav, Rav Gidol Sandim Marav, that when the two mechutanim are talking to each other, so the father, the kala, says to the father, Chosin, kama tanoisin lebencha, how much are you going to give your son? So the father of the kala says to the mechutin, how much are you going to give your son? Kach v'kach. He says, I'm going to give my son this than this. So then the father of the chosin says to the father of the kala, how much are you going to give your daughter? Kach v'kach. Amdu v'kid shukanu. If they get up and they marry each other, they do the act of kedushin, kanu, so then the kinyan stands. The kinyan is obligatory, meaning it's chal. Hein hadvarim haniknim ba'amira. These are hischayvasim. These are obligations that are acquired just by speaking. You don't need a kinyan. So in the case of the Mishnah, the reason why the husband has to support the woman's daughter is because we have this kind of shtar. So we have no proof then that if there a IOU is handed off over in front of Edom, that would be binding. Tashma, come in here. Kasav l'koyin sha'ani chayiv l'cha chameshlam. Somebody wrote to a kayin, I owe you 5 selah, which is the sheer opinion of Ben. So chayiv l'ten lo'y chameshlam. He has to pay the kayin 5 selah. However, u'benoy ein apada, his son is not redeemed. Why? He handed a shtar. The shtar is a document that he's moideh, that he had a previous debt. So therefore, he can use the 5 selah to redeem the bechor, and the bechor is not niftah. Why? Because all the shtar does is it shows, okay, look, I owe the kohen money. So now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, I understand this is a valid hischayvos. He's mechayv himself. He owes the guy 5 selah, and that 5 selah cannot be used to give to the kohen to redeem the firstborn. But according to Rish Lakish, he has no hischayvos through the shtar. Elamai, he gives him 5 selah. The 5 selah should be able to be used to redeem the bechor. In other words, according to Rabbi Yochanan, he has. Validly acknowledge that he owes money to this guy, so he has to pay him back, but it can't be used to redeem the firstborn. But according to Rish Lakish, it's not a valid hischayvus, so then the money he gives him should be able to be used for the redemption. Says Gemara, no. Shani Hasam. There it's different. Really, I'll tell you that when you write a shtar and you say, and the shtar says that I owe you money, it's not obligatory. But here it's different. The meshubed le midai raisa, because you're meshubed midai raisa. Normally, Rish Lakish would say such a letter has no credibility. But because it's saying that he's chayiv money, that its source is a chiv da raisa, so that's mechazik the shtar. If there wasn't a hischayvus midai raisa, Reish Lakish would not say that the shtar means anything. But because it's sourced in a biblical chiyuv, therefore the shtar has validity. So the Gemara says, Yihachi, if that's the case, if the shtar is just a written version of what he's chayiv midai raisa, my kasav, why did he write a shtar? He was chayiv to the kohen because of the biblical obligation. So the Gemara says, Kedei levarer loy kayin. He wrote the shtar because he wanted to choose which kayin he was going to give it to. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, if this shtar is just reflecting the hischayvus midaraisi, hachi, benoya mayena padoy. If that's the case, why is his son not redeemed? Says the Gemara, Kedei ula. Because what Ula said, Damar Ula, Dvar Torah Padoy Lechsheyitain, Midai Raisa, the child is redeemed when the money is given. What does it mean when the money is given? What? When the father gives the Chamesh Slam, the kid is redeemed. Umay taima amru benoy nepad. So why in this case is a kid not redeemed? Gezer Hashem yomru paid mishtaris. Because you might say that you could redeem a bechor with a IOU. The halacha is you can't redeem a bechor by giving the kohen a shtar that somebody else owes you money. The kohen, because it has no intrinsic value. You can't redeem a bechor by saying, you can't redeem a bechor by saying, okay, here's a shtar that somebody owes me money, because that doesn't have that's only something that gives the kohen the ability to collect, but it doesn't have value. But you could redeem a bechar with a shtar that says to the kohen, I owe you money, and then it is an effective pidyon, provided that ultimately you give the kohen the money. So, lest you think that just like you could redeem a bechar with a personal IOU to the kohen, I'm sorry, lest you think that you could redeem a bechar with a shtar that somebody else owes you money, they assert even when you write to a bechar, even when you write to a kohen that I owe you money. Or they assert a shtar that says to a kohen, I owe you money, lest you come to redeem a bechar with a shtar that says, I owe you money, and even if you don't end up giving the kohen the money. So basically, there's only one situation that you could redeem a bechar with an IOU. If you write to the kohen, I owe you the money, and then you ultimately give him the money. But if you give the kohen a shtar that someone else owes you money, or you give the kohen a shtar that you owe him money, and you don't end up giving him the money, the child is not redeemed. So basically, according to, even Rish Lakish would say that in this case the shtar works because the shtar is reiterating the intrinsic chiyav midaraisa of pidyon haben. And why isn't the kid redeemed? It's a gzera. Now the Gemara says that the machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish might be machlokes tano amar Rava kitanoi. Rava said the machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish is similar to a machlokes tanaim. Arev hayoytse achar chitim shtaris. Let's say you have an arev, someone who guarantees a loan. Now, where does the arev sign? If he signs before the edim sign, the edim are authenticating his guarantee, and then in that case, the creditor would be able to collect from the arev's property even that was sold. But in this case, the arev signed his name after the edim signed. So what is that? Is that like it's on a shtar? Or is it just like a commitment al peh? Arev hayoytze achar chitim sharsin. Arev, that his name comes out after the signing on the shtar. Goyvim nechasim nechayim. He collects, meaning the creditor collects from property that is free but not sold. Ma'isa ba'lefnei Rabbi Shmuel. A story came before Rabbi Shmuel, va'amar, and Rabbi Shmuel said, goyvim nechasim nechayim. Rabbi Shmuel concurred that the creditor could collect from the arev's nechasim b'nei chayrim. Amar lai benanas. Benanas said, enoi goyve. He can't collect at all. Lai mechasim b'nei chayrim, lai mechasim shabadim. Not from property that was not sold, and not from property that sold. Amar lai. So Shmuel said, lama, why? Why can't you collect? What's the question? What do you mean, why can't you collect? Why can't you collect? Meaning, I understand that you can collect because it's not a valid proof that there was a previous obligation. But why isn't the arev putting his name on the shtar? Why doesn't that make that he is now obligating himself from now a new obligation? That's the question. Amar Loi, so Benana said, oh, wait a second. You know why it's not an obligation from now? Let's say the lender was choking his friend in the marketplace because he lent the guy money, the guy wasn't paying back. So now he's choking his friend in the marketplace. And a friend found the lender choking the borrower. Amar lai, come on, leave him alone. Hanachle, let him be. I'll pay you up. You know, stop killing him. You're murdering the guy who's not paying you. I'll pay you. Does he have to pay? Pater, he doesn't have to pay. Shloi al emunase hivahu, because the malva never lent the money to the loiva, trusting this guy who claims he's going to pay. You know when an arev has a hischaivus to pay back. That's if the malve lent money to loive based upon the guarantee of the arev. But if the malve lent the money in his own goodwill, and now after the fact the arev is kicking in and saying, no, stop strangling him to death, I'll pay you back, that will not constitute a hischaivus. It's only if he lent the money reliant on him. So she's pater. Rabbi Shmuel said you're chayiv, and Benana said no, you don't collect at all. Rabbi Shmuel said why? At least let him collect from now. And Benana said no. Only creates a hischaivus if the money was lent based on his trust. So it says the Gemara, Lema Rabbi Yochanan Damar Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Yochanan seemed to have said his halacha according to Rabbi Shmuel. Reish Lakish to Amar Bananas. Reish Lakish said like Bananas. Why? Rabbi Yochanan said that let's say you have a shtar, and this shtar you give to the malva in front of Edim. Rabbi Yochanan said, okay, that shows you're moida that you owe the money. And that authenticates a previous debt. That's the shita of Rabbi Shmuel, that Rabbi Shmuel says that if you have a arev who signed a shtar and it was given over to the malve in front of Edim, so then now the arev is chayiv. And Reish Lakish says, no, this does not create a hischaivus. Why would Reish Lakish say it doesn't? Why does Reish Lakish hold that when you hand over a shtar in front of Edim to the malve, there's no hischaivus? That's like Bananas, that if Arev signs at the end of a shtar, it doesn't create a hischaivus. So it seems like we want to lock in the shita of Rabbi Yochanan to the shita of Rabbi Shmuel, and Reish Lakish like Bananas. And this is where we will pick up tomorrow. Okay? Thank you very much. Okay, so this week I want to do Kuf Beis. Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph is a little bit easier. And then next week, Sunday night. And this way, after that, we could stay on schedule. Okay? Thank you for joining, Reb Lewis. Hatzlacha. Good night. Bracha v'hatzlacha. Thank you. Kol Tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.